Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2 for this afternoon. Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Pray that God will give us the strength and energy as we come to his word this afternoon. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you that the entrance of your words gives light. And we pray that your word would give us light now. Help my brothers and sisters in Christ have the energy and strength they need to be alert and lively during the preaching, that we might be doers of your word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Help us in this time. Help us have the zeal and strength we need to press on as we meet with you through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we are now on Proverbs chapter 27. And I will be focusing this afternoon on verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2. Again, the text says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. That's verse 1. Then verse 2, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. So both verses are about not boasting. Verse 1 is about not boasting about ourselves. About tomorrow. Verse 1 is about not boasting about tomorrow. And verse 2 is not about not boasting about yourself. Not boasting about tomorrow and not boasting about yourself. And so the main point of this sermon is we must not boast about tomorrow or ourselves. We must not boast about tomorrow or ourselves. First point, do not boast about tomorrow. Do not boast about tomorrow. Second point, do not boast about yourself. Do not boast about yourself. And so may the Spirit of God help us to understand these two verses. So again, my first point, do not boast about tomorrow. Do not boast about tomorrow. Verse 1, again, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. What this text is saying is we are not to live in such a way that we are presuming upon God that we will have tomorrow, and therefore boasting about it as if it's a done deal, that we are guaranteed more life and a tomorrow. It's saying don't boast as if you control your own life, your own destiny, and therefore have no reason to fear that tomorrow will come. We should be those who remember that every single day given to us is a blessing from God and a gift. We even will say things to people that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We are not promised by God that we will have tomorrow. And this is why the Bible will say to the unconverted, today is the day of salvation. Because you don't know if you have tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Because we do not want to boast about tomorrow as if we are guaranteed that we will live 80, 90, 100 years or 60 or 70 or whatever it might be. We do not know because the Bible describes our life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Some of you who are a little bit older than me can probably testify more that life is quick. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Maybe some of you think, wow, I remember my 20s, like they weren't that long ago, but now I'm a lot older, whatever it might be. Because life is like a vapor. It's like a mist. You might be out on a cold day and it's very chilly. And what comes out if it's cold? You can see your breath. It's like a vapor. It's there and then it vanishes away. And that's the way God describes our life. It's like a vapor. It's quick. And that short little life, that vaporous life is preparing us either for eternal bliss or eternal suffering. This little life that God calls a vapor is preparing for us where we will spend eternity. And therefore, this life, the one life God has given to us, we are not to boast about tomorrow because we do not know what a day may bring forth. It's very important that we are those who do not presume upon God as if tomorrow is guaranteed. Do not boast about tomorrow. We see this language, if you turn with me to the book of James. The book of James is right after the book of Hebrews, right before the book of 1 Peter. James chapter 4, and starting at verse 13, we see this reality of not boasting about tomorrow, and what we ought to think and what we ought to say, but not to boast, and we are not to boast about tomorrow. So James 4, starting at verse 13. James 4, 13. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." And so we see in this text, these people, it's envisioning these people who want to go to this such and such a city. They want to spend a year there. They want to buy. They want to sell. They want to make a profit. Basically, they are determining their own plans without thinking about God. We are going to do what we want because we're boasting about tomorrow. And the text says, but you don't know what will happen tomorrow. Let alone a year from now, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. And so they're thinking that they're presuming upon God, and they're thinking, we are controlling it, and we're going to do this and this. But then he says, for what is your life? What a powerful question. What is your life? What a powerful question that the Word of God would ask. After they're saying, I'm doing this, but what is your life? And he says, it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So what it's saying is, it's not wrong to have a desire to go to such and such a city, buy, sell, make a profit. That's not wrong. Planning is not wrong in itself. What is wrong is boasting about tomorrow. Instead, you and me ought to say, I'll do this, if the Lord wills. Because I know that life isn't promised to me. And therefore, I want to do this. This is my desire. If the Lord wills. Not presuming upon God. Because if we boast in our arrogance, all such boasting is evil. And he's describing someone who doesn't put God into his mind about tomorrow is actually boasting. Because he is boasting in tomorrow when he doesn't know what a day may bring forth. And so we see in this text the reality that we are not to boast about tomorrow because we as finite, limited creatures do not know what a day may bring forth. Because life is not promised to a single one of us. Instead, we ought to say, Lord willing, God willing, I want to do this. It doesn't mean every single time you plan to do something you have to say, Lord willing, as a Christian. But it should be in your mind that I want to do this, but I know I'm only going to do this if the Lord wills. Because man plans his ways, but the Lord directs our steps. We make plans, but it's ultimately the Lord's counsel that will stand. God can thwart our plans. We can think we want to do this and that. He can change it up. Maybe you've had experiences. You want to do this. You want to do this sooner, that happened. And God changed your plans. Because you do it if the Lord wills. You'll do this or that. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So we must not boast about tomorrow because you and me do not know what tomorrow will bring forth. We don't know because your life is a vapor. One life will soon be passed, as the hymn says. Only what is done for Christ will last. Our life is like a vapor. And then if you turn with me to Luke chapter 12, we see another man presuming upon God. And Jesus actually gives this parable to make the point about someone presuming upon God. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13. Still thinking about the reality that we are commanded not to boast about tomorrow, because we do not know what a day may bring forth. Our life is like a vapor. It's, every day is a gift from God. Luke 12, starting at verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" So we see here, Jesus tells this parable of a rich man. He had lots of stuff, and he had so much stuff he didn't have place to store it. And so he says, "I'll tear down my barn to build greater and just basically sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. No thought of God, no thought of his death, no thought of eternity, thinking only about this present life." And he says to himself, to his soul, "I have all this stuff, eat, drink, and be merry." But God says to him, "You're a fool." Because his life was taken, and then all the stuff that he worked so hard for, who he had, was given to someone else. And the purpose of this parable was, so, therefore, is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. But my beloved brethren, many people are living like that. They're living only for the here and now. They're living, how can they get what they can get here and now? They are living for more and more stuff, more and more things. They're living without God in their mind, without thinking about eternity, without thinking about heaven, without thinking about hell, without thinking about judgment, without thinking about these realities. They are living only for this present life. And they are saying to themselves, "Eat, drink, and be merry." But if they die in that condition, they will have the terrifying reality that their life was a waste. Because they laid up treasure for themselves. They boasted about tomorrow when they did not know what a day may bring forth. And they will realize the foolishness of that. That's one of the reasons why I think hell is described as weeping. People weep usually because they are grieved over something. And I think connected with that weeping is someone who gets to hell will realize that their life was a waste. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. They will realize, "My life was a waste." Isn't that what Jesus says? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For what will man give in exchange for his soul? And so we look at the reality of this and realize that life is like a vapor. And therefore, the only hope someone has is to be rich toward God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing is we see in our Lord Jesus Christ, one who ultimately, even though he's the omniscient God in flesh, he day by day trusted in his Heavenly Father. All the way, trusting his Heavenly Father to the point of death, even the death of the cross, that the Lord Jesus did not boast as if somehow it was just going to happen in the sense of he didn't trust his Heavenly Father. He was moment by moment, day by day, living in dependence upon his Heavenly Father, even to be to the point of death. Jesus did not come to eat, drink, and be merry. He came as the Son of Man to not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And so our Lord Jesus Christ is one who did not boast about tomorrow. Interestingly, even though he did, according to his divine nature, know what tomorrow would bring, he still lived day by day in dependence upon his Heavenly Father. And so we see those realities in the Lord Jesus Christ. So my beloved brethren, we are not to boast about tomorrow, because you don't know what a day may bring forth. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. And so we should live in trust in God, praying that he would give us another day, but living life knowing we will do this or that if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. And if you're not saved here, if you have not come to Christ, you don't know if you have tomorrow. You don't know if that day is going to come. Today is the day of your salvation. You might not have tomorrow. Tomorrow might not come for you. It might never come. And you might die and hear the realities. Fool! You don't want to hear that. But today is the day of your salvation. Today you can make things right. Tomorrow is not promised. But today, as you're under the preaching of the gospel, you can repent and believe in Jesus Christ, who died for sinners, rose again, so that people who were lost in their sin, if they trust in him, would have everlasting life. You can know Christ today and know for sure that you do not have to hear those words, fool, but instead can be rich toward God. And so look to the Lord Jesus Christ and live while God is giving you time. This world is not going to satisfy. And you could have all these goods, but you're going to die. And then they're going to go to someone else. You cannot take your goods with you. You cannot take it with you. The only thing that you can ultimately take is yourself being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you send on ahead because you stored up treasure in heaven. We must not boast about tomorrow. And as God's people, we should live our life trusting God and living if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. And now my second point. Do not boast about yourself. So first point, do not boast about tomorrow. Second point, do not boast about yourself. So not only are we not to boast about tomorrow, because we do not know what a day may bring forth. Verse 2, let another man praise you, and not your own mouth. A stranger, and not your own lips. Proverbs 27, verse 2. So we see, again, we are not to boast about tomorrow, but then verse 2 of Proverbs 27 exhorts us not to boast about ourselves. We are not to praise ourselves. We are not to boast about ourselves. One of the best dispositions of a child of God is humility. Is humility. The disposition of thinking of ourselves rightly and having a disposition of lowliness. Because blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As I know you guys have been going through at North Bergen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The first of the Beatitudes. And so we are to have that spirit of humility. We are not to praise ourselves or boast in ourselves, because the Word of God tells us that God resists the proud. I don't exactly know what it means for God to resist you, but I know you don't want it. Whatever it means for God to resist you, to oppose you, you don't want it. And it says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And why does God love humility? Because his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, humbled himself. He was in the very form of God as God the Son, and he assumed a human nature in humility and came down from heaven, humbling himself from the glory of heaven to become a man for us and for our salvation. Why does God love humility? Because his only begotten Son humbled himself. God cares so much about humility because the Son of God took on our human flesh and humbled himself all the way to the cross for us and for our salvation. And therefore, there will not be proud people in heaven, meaning those who are dominated by pride, because God the Son humbled himself. Why is humility so important? Because humility is what our Savior did for us and for our salvation. Jesus is the perfect example of humility because he is God who assumed a human nature. And he was willing to be spit upon, mocked, beaten, scourged. He was God. He could call down 12,000 legions of angels. But in humility, he was willing to take the cup of wrath so that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. And therefore, how can we be proud when our Savior, who had every right to the entire worship of men and angels and all the creatures, would willingly humble himself that we could have a perfect salvation? And therefore, why should we be humble? Because our Savior is a humble Savior. And therefore, this text tells us, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. Let another man praise you. It can be so easy for us if we're not careful. We can fall into the trap of bragging about ourselves, of boasting boasting about ourselves. But this text tells us, if you're going to be boasted about, let another man do it. If someone's going to speak well of you, let someone else do it. It doesn't seem to make it seem like it's wrong for other people to build up and compliment, as long as it's not flattery. Just the difference between encouragement and flattery, just quickly. Flattery is saying something nice to someone to get something out of them. You don't really mean it. You're kind of manipulating them. That's what flattery is. You're basically saying it so that they just feel good about themselves, but you don't really mean it. You're trying to get something out. That's manipulation. Encouragement is you genuinely mean it, and you want it to be a blessing to them, to motivate them to more and more godliness. And so we're not talking about flattery, but when other people praise us, it's not wrong in itself. But what this text tells us is, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. I remember some of you probably heard the name Tim Tebow. He was famous, particularly famous, because he played college football at the University of Florida. Very, very good athlete. I remember reading many years ago an autobiography that he wrote, and his parents had a rule for him because he was excellent at football. They said, don't tell anybody about your football unless they ask. If they ask, free game. Because they're asking you. They want you to tell about how it went. But that was a rule to basically fulfill this verse, let another man praise you, in the sense of don't just go up bragging unless, and don't brag at all in a sense, but don't even let people know what happened unless they ask. Which was an interesting rule that they established to fulfill this mandate. And so let another praise you and not your own mouth. We're not to boast and brag about our accomplishments, our successes, which I don't think means that we can never talk about ourselves ever, but I think it means if we are, we're doing it in a spirit of not bragging or looking down our nose upon other people. Not doing that. And so we are to be those who, instead of praising ourselves, we should let another man do it, or a stranger, and not our own lips. It's easy for many of us, because for many of us, our favorite subject can be, a lot of times, is ourselves. But we see here that we are to not boast and brag about ourselves. We see that another man, a stranger, and not our own lips. We are to have a humble disposition towards other people, because love does not parade itself and it's not puffed up, according to 1 Corinthians 13. So biblical love doesn't parade itself and doesn't puff itself up. And we are to be like John the Baptist, who said, the Lord Jesus Christ, he must increase, I must decrease. And so we should have the spirit and the disposition of being humble before others. It's kind of similar to the proverb, where the proverb says, you don't want to go sit in the really good seat. Because if you do that, they might tell you to go back. And then you're humbled. You're humiliated. It's better for them to ask you to come up. And therefore, you're actually complimented in the front of everybody. It's kind of the same principle. If we go up and no one even is interested, and we're just telling them about bragging about our accomplishments, it's no good. But if someone is genuinely asking us questions, and we are in a humble disposition sharing, then we're able to experience the joy of sharing because they asked. But we are not to be in a boastful, prideful spirit about ourselves. We are to be humble before others. I think there could be times with friends and family, especially close friends, You can share things that are going on in your life. I think there's a place for that. I don't think the text is forbidding that. You sharing things with especially close family, because you're knit together as a family or close friends. But I think even if we share with others things that happen, we should do it in a way that is humble and seeking those that humble disposition. And what's best is if you have things where other people are saying it and you're sharing it with others, therefore it's still letting another man praise you, where you're just sharing to close family what someone else encouraged you about. I remember at the Christian school, they were kind, and they made me a little bowl of, and they had little encouragements in there. And I was sharing it, I think, to Liz, that little bowl. And I was sharing it. It was an encouragement to me, and I was sharing it to her just to, because it was encouragement and those sort of things. I don't think that was violating this text. Because, and also, it wasn't even me praising myself. It was this bowl that they gave me as a gift. It was a very kind gift. And it was a unique gift where they put encouragement notes instead of like another thing. But I'm making that point to say there are times where we can share good things that are happening. But even with that, because I don't want someone to take this text meaning I can never share anything ever that ever happens bad or good in my life, because I don't think that's what this verse means. We see the Apostle Paul sharing good things that happen in his epistles. So we see that example. He shares good things that are happening with the churches, with himself, these type of things. He even talks about in Philemon the reality that you owe me yourself. So he's basically saying, you're in Christ because of me. And so we see that there's a place to say those things, but always in a spirit of humility, knowing that by the grace of God, we are what we are. By the grace of God, we are what we are. And again, the reason why not boasting about tomorrow and humility are so important, and both of them are connected with humility, is because our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a humble Savior. Because he willingly humbled himself to assume a human nature for us so that we could have salvation. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And as we look at the glory of Jesus Christ and his humility, it should cause us to want to be more humble before God and before others. It'd be like, and it, this isn't even a fair comparison, but it'd be like a human willingly becoming an ant. That's not even a fair comparison, because it was even more condescension for the Son of the living God to assume human nature. But it was a great act of humility. But he did it because of love. Jesus loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2, verse 20. And so it was love. And so therefore, let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. We should have a spirit of humility before others and before God. But if you're here without Christ, if you're here and you have not been brought to salvation in Christ, you do not know what a day may bring forth. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. And if you're not in Christ, you are one who is praising yourself, because at that moment, at this moment, you are saying, I don't need Jesus. I'm good on my own. I don't need salvation. But my dear friend, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart, but repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and find salvation. Don't harden your heart. Look to Christ, who humbled himself, laid down his life for sinners as a perfect sacrifice, who can make you acceptable to God, not because of what you've done, but because what he did in the place of his people. Look to Christ. Look to Jesus to save you. Because you do not know what a day may bring forth. And today is the day of your salvation. Tomorrow might never come, but today you're hearing the preaching of the gospel. You're hearing the word of the cross. And therefore repent and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for God's people, let us have a spirit, whether we say it verbally or we know in our hearts, if the Lord wills. Not boasting about tomorrow. If the Lord wills, I'll do this or that. If the Lord wills, I'll do this or that. I really hope I get to November 10th and get married to this beautiful girl. But it's if the Lord wills. Everything is if the Lord wills. Because I do not know what a day may bring forth. That's my hope. That's my desire. But God is sovereign. And therefore I should live, and you should live this day, being so thankful for it, because we do not know what a day may bring forth. only if the Lord wills. Let's not presume upon God. And it's even good in your speech, even with lost people. It can even maybe lead to gospel conversations if you say to them, Lord willing, and they're, what do you mean by that? It could even lead to gospel conversations. If you say, yeah, I want to do this for you, or I want that to happen, but only if the Lord wills. And you could even stop and even say to them, do you know why I say the Lord if the Lord wills? Great opportunity for the gospel conversation. Do you know why I say that? And then you explain to them, it's because God is sovereign. He's given us appointed time for our birth and for our death. And then we either go to heaven or hell. And then you get right into the gospel. What a wonderful opportunity. Just something as small as that, if the Lord wills. And so let us not presume upon God, but know if the Lord wills. And as God's people, we must not boast or brag, but let another man or a stranger praise us and not ourselves. Let us be those who are humble before God and before men, so that we might be marked by that Christ-like humility that is so precious in the eyes of God, because God gives grace to the humble. And if you say, I really want to grow in humility, I really want to grow in these things, how do I? There could be different answers given, but I think the preeminent answer is by reflecting and meditating more on the condescension and humility of Jesus Christ, who assumed the human nature for our salvation. And by looking to his humility, it causes us before God and before others to be humble, knowing that our Savior was obedient because of his humility to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so may God help us by his grace to not boast about tomorrow because we do not know what a day may bring forth, and not to praise ourselves, to have a spirit of humility, and let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his great humility. We thank you that he loved us and gave himself for us. And we thank you that in light of that, we should not boast about tomorrow, and we should also not boast about ourselves. Help us. Forgive us when we fall short, and help us more and more to know when to speak about ourselves and when not to, so that you might be praised and we might receive the joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.